Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our assignment from yesterday. We're conditioned to be a human sacrifice. We're sacrificed to maintain ego. Assignment. What of you is sacrificed when karma is chosen? What are you not allowed to see, to feel, to have, to be? RL, what you see. All right, here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, good morning.
Who is this?
Elizabeth from Florida.
Hi there.
Hi.
What are you seeing?
What I'm seeing, well, lovely blue sky. Some little clouds. The receiving was easier for her than the giving. The giving is more conditioned. So we are conditioned to be a human sacrifice. We are sacrificed to maintain ego.
And so it feels like giving...
Yeah, I'm
sacrificing you.
Yes, sacrificing to be free to choose with joy and to enjoy giving, to enjoy it, not thinking about, no mind, no. Yeah.
And so when you are not identified with ego, you have an experience of giving that you enjoy?
Yes. Yes.
And so identification with ego robs you of that.
Yeah, robs joy, robs life, robs...
kind of everything,
freedom.
Huh?
Freedom, relaxing.
Yeah.
Yeah, pure stress.
All right.
Ego is pure stress.
Pure stress. It is, isn't it? Well,
yes.
It's something wrong and not enough. Right.
Yes.
So as long as we are identified with it, that's what we're going to be experiencing. And it's always got something that's wrong, right? I mean, it can always find something that's wrong, and it can always find loss, lack, and deprivation, right? Because if nothing else, it can compare us to somebody else and then say, well, see, you know, they give joyfully. Why can't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no winning with it, is there?
No, it isn't. It's no fun.
Yeah. It's no fun, exactly.
It's no fun.
Yeah, which is why we're working so hard to be here, right? Where it actually is fun.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Enjoy
so much.
Enjoy that blue sky.
Ashwini, yes, you too. Go happy.
Okay, go happy.
Thanks, Elizabeth.
Thank you.
Well, it's either giving or receiving, Sherry. In some way or the other, the voice is going to find something wrong.
Yeah. Well, and that's that definition of ego, stress, and no fun.
Yeah.
That's pretty pretty complete.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
Disney World has opened.
Next caller?
Oh, dear.
we'll invite
did
them
they unplug
to call.
Something?
Yeah, to call back, perhaps. I'll look for them in the queue again, Sherry.
Okay, good. Maybe without those earbuds or whatever, or not on the computer.
Yeah.
Do you have a tip about what that might look like?
Well, it could be speakers, Sherry, but I'm not sure. I mean, there's
so many
variables here that it's hard.
All right.
All right.
Well, it was cute.
it
was good sound.
we just need a translator, you know?
Right, exactly. Yeah.
All right. Here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning.
Good morning. Who's
this? Is Linda McKay and Linda Joy.
We got a trend here.
Can you hear me?
Yes, perfectly. What are you seeing?
Oh, okay. I don't know. I thought maybe you were still trying to get me through here. Okay. I am seeing what I'm doing for the month is giving thanks for everything. And I thought, oh, that's really a cop-out, you know. That's really sounds – but it's really been interesting because it's really awesome to find out how much I'm grateful for every single morning and through the day.
Yeah, and Linda, do you think you're the one who would call that a cop-out, or might that be –
Oh, no. Oh, no. That wasn't me. No, I'm very
good.
Much aware that was not me.
All right.
Yeah.
Very good.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it is interesting. The question for today was, what do I give up, you know, with karma and listening to that little guy that says I shouldn't be doing that? I give up joy. I give up, you know, all that stuff. But
gratitude,
what I'm noticing is
pleasure, having fun doing it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And so what I'm finding is in doing that, this has been an awesome month, and I enjoyed your email class, too. I really got a lot out of that this time. And is the just being able to sit still. I have the most beautiful backyard, little garden that I sit in, and my Orioles are there for me every morning and my Hummers. And I just am learning to be able to sit there and to just not do anything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Give
be present.
And, mm-hmm. yeah.
Mm-hmm. And enjoy.
She can be, yeah. I mean, I did get antsy enough about the, am I really giving enough this month? To make sure that I'm checking out my regular giving amounts and maybe increasing a little bit and, you know, doing that type of thing. But then I just sit back and relax and say, oh, this feels so good.
And so, right, absolutely. So, and when you had that prompt to check your donations and that sort of thing, did it feel like it came from that same, isn't that a cop-out place? Or did it feel like it just dropped in as something that you wanted to kind of reassure yourself about?
I wanted to reassure myself because I actually have not double-checked a lot of those things. And I lost a credit card not too long ago. And so it has been on my mind. And I thought, well, this is a good time to do that. I'll make sure that, you know, my giving is up to date.
When we get information that way, it's supportive and kind, and it feels good. Huh? It feels like it takes care of us rather than that second guessing and, well, what about this? And are you that? And are you sure?
Yep.
Yeah, which doesn't feel good. All right.
And,
well,
and
lovely.
I'm going to cheat just a little bit and ask you a question. On process mapping, what is your best book? I know that you've mentioned a couple before of your books. That you cover
process
that.
Mapping. The best thing is the blog, and then folks, our facilitators recently, Srini can help me out with this, but did a downloadable conversation instructions. Srini, help me.
Okay.
Where'd she go?
It's
there. She is.
It's linked off of the Musings article, the recent Musings article, which you can find on the Watch News section of our website, the recording that was done, and
Great.
The link to Sherry's blog. And we'll try to find another place to put it so that it's under some tools that are easily accessible.
Yeah, I just found myself thinking I really have to sit down with that and kind of work with that a little bit. So
it'll be fun.
Thank you.
All
yes,
right.
It will.
Thank you. Enjoy.
Have a wonderful day and go happy.
Go happy.
Thanks, Linda Joy. Sherry, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Debbie from Minnesota.
Hey, Debbie.
Hi, Sherry.
What are you seeing?
Hi, you know, I'm seeing that that there's a difference between when the, well, for me, the conditioning is around shoulds or trying to get something back for myself, giving from like the the subpersonality I call the sad sack, or it's from this know-it-all and hurry-up, fix-it fast, who want to do it in a certain way versus just letting it be kind of a more easy exchange where the giving is more part of a natural flow, almost like breathing. And, like, it's just, it's, you know, it's the same conditioning as, you know, in the other focus topics. It's not different. So it's just to what level I can let go of control, I can let go of control, or can I say I can let go of ego and participate in a way where the giving kind of flows versus when it's being circumscribed in some way, and it's not the same effect, and it's not the same feeling at all.
Yeah, and it's interesting, isn't it, to see the way you've laid it out. The ego wants to do that give to get thing, and yet as soon as we identify with ego, we've already lost, right? So what? No, we're not going to get anything that would make up for what we've lost. As you say, you know, that easy flow, just like breathing, everything is relaxed. And once we let that go, we're not going to get anything that's going to repay us for that.
So in those cases, I mean, is the I mean, that's why, like, the privileged environment at the monastery where there's no talking is nice, but, like, when that state is present, it just seems like words are not helpful. Like, action's not helpful. Like, nothing is very helpful.
Makes the person want to meditate,
state.
Doesn't it?
Well, but not out of hiding away from it, because, like, it's just going to be the way it is, right? You talk about undulations and just the natural human experiences that's part of it. But, like, what's the guidance for us living out here? I guess I'm not in your privileged environment workshop, but what's the guidance you can give me now for when
Debbie,
I'm aware that it's operating and I don't know how to participate while it's operating?
Yeah. Well, and what you're asking about is the whole point of awareness practice, right? So you know, in Zen there are four stages. Right? One is sitting facing a blank wall, and then we stand up and do walking meditation, and then we do working meditation, which we like to focus on simple tasks as we practice that. And then the fourth, which is by far the most challenging, is interacting with other human beings. So, as far as I know, there's no way around it except applying all of the same tools that we apply to everything else. We have to learn to direct attention to conscious awareness, and that will resolve the issue.
So it's just practice over time.
Just practice, yeah. Yes.
And maybe in the moment for me, like turning my eyes down or just kind of getting back to, like, using whatever tips I know that are supportive for.
Well, Debbie, perhaps with that, to bring conscious awareness to every interaction. Instead of I go into an interaction, I get partway through it, somebody says something, it sets me off, I go crazy, and then, you know, I'm fodder for the voices, right? Instead, just realize, where I am in practice now is I really want to work on conversations with people. Of course, we have this wonderful book, you know, that you could have there to support you in it. But to realize, I can't assume that ego is not going to try to get me in these circumstances, because I know it will. So I'm just going to go into it practicing. I'll stay conscious just as long as I can. When I go unconscious, well, I will have seen something, and slowly over time, just like everything else in your practice, it'll get easier. You'll be far more present and more relaxed, and ego won't be able to do that to you.
Sounds good to me.
Yep. It's worth pursuing, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right.
I can't think of anything else to pursue. Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, Ashwini.
Thank you, Debbie. Gosho.
Okay. Bye.
Thanks, Debbie. Sherry, what I was seeing in that conversation is the way conditioned mind would want us to operate is to avoid something, right? Especially
yes.
to avoid it. And the
yes.
encouragement in awareness practices is you're not actually doing something different. You're changing, you're bringing conscious awareness to it, right? And from
yes.
conscious awareness, what arises will always be beneficial because it's arising from awareness. Versus when it's with
yes.
ego, it's unhelpful. And so it's not that we live in a dualistic world of if I don't engage because it could cause harm. It's can I engage on a consistent level from conscious, compassionate awareness? So presence
yes.
is what I'm attempting to practice in every situation. And that comment from Linda Joy about process mapping is really how we bring conscious awareness to a process, because as you just laid out, it's so clear what happens. We know we can identify the blocks in the process, and so then we try to bring attention to the blocks so that we can parse it to
yes.
To the thoughts and the feelings and the sensations. That's a way of bringing conscious awareness to the process I'm in. So when I'm in that process, I'm aware of it and can bring conscious awareness to it. Now I'm no longer identified, even if I'm doing
yeah.
the same thing.
Yes, yes, exactly so. And, of course, the reason in practice that we have the privileged environment is because we are also traumatized by other people.
Yeah.
Right, that's where all of this got reinforced. Not that there are any bad people and everybody did the best they could, and blah, 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 blah. However, so when we're together, like on retreat at the monastery or wherever, we practice the privileged environment so that we eliminate this one enormous
mm-hmm.
trigger,
mm-hmm.
right? And then we can practice getting in touch with all these other things, and then what we're going to do is tackle that trigger. As
mm-hmm.
Debbie is pointing out.
Yeah, it's the most mm-hmm. high-level
yep.
circumstance to retain the mind of meditation.
It absolutely is, yeah.
yeah.
And, you know, you said something else about, made the point that ego would tell us to try to hide from it.
Yeah.
Which, of course, just simply puts us in complete relationship with it.
Mm-hmm.
Right, which is why you're pointing that out, that we don't want to fall for that scam. Well, if I never talked to anybody,
right.
then I would be fine. No, I wouldn't. I'd only be talking to ego.
Well, which is why we get over self-hate. Because if
mm-hmm.
the voice can't torture me about how awful I am, then I have the ability to get out there and learn something.
Oh, beautifully stated.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I think you did a piece quote recently about that, a very similar point.
Mm.
Today's piece quote, very worth checking out.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll go check it out.
Right.
Here we go. Next caller, you're not live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hello. This is Julian in Nashville.
Well, hello, Julian. What are you seeing?
Well, I've just been... like a lot of us, blown away by how much conditioning exists within giving. And this is my first time in the retreat, my first time calling in this section. And
well, Julian, may I interrupt
yes,
you right there? Don't lose
please.
Your train of thought. But I want to thank you for that. Just a little, a little encouragement to everybody. If you're not in the queue, get in the queue. Let everybody hear from everybody. It's so incredibly
right.
helpful. So thank you for that. Go ahead.
Oh, my goodness. Well, and thank you to Sangha and you and Ashwin and everybody, because it keeps my heart beating. It keeps me going, frankly. So something that has come up with giving, the main thing that, I'm a musician and I teach quite a bit, and so giving and reciprocity is always kind of wrapped up in that area. But what really blows my mind is this ego trap that I find myself falling for and I witness a lot, which says you must give, but you must marshal what you give, because if you have nothing to give, no one wants to hear from you. But you must give, but if you have nothing, you know what I mean? And that cycle continues. And
whatever you give, yes. I imagine ego is right there to negate that. Right, well, that's not.
Oh, 100%. Exactly. Yeah. That was, and so I'm left to be kind of a manager, someone who's marshaling these resources that I can see very clearly are not mine to marshal. So when, in looking at sacrifice, I guess what came up with me was that, like we're all saying this, it's a sacrifice. I sacrifice joy. I sacrifice freedom, and I also sacrifice. There's a certain resignation that, okay, if I keep with this path, this ego path, I'll never be happy, like truly happy, but maybe I'll be marginally able to just kind of cope and I won't be miserable. And that really surprised me that the ego paints it in such a, well, not surprising that it's dualistic, but it's kind of either really bad or okay, but don't even think about actually being happy.
That's right. Because if you start down that path, then ego's in trouble. So, you know, just it's not that bad. You know, it's not that bad. It's not that bad. You know, a lot of people have it a lot worse than you do.
Yeah.
Why aren't you just grateful for this pittance that you have?
Yes.
It's so ugly, isn't it? Yeah.
It is.
Which takes me, of course, to that Martha Grimes quote that makes it so clear that what you have to give is you.
Right.
That's what the world needs.
Wow.
Not something you might own or something that might be passing through your bank account or through your house or whatever. It's you.
Wow. That I really appreciate that. I lose sight of that. A lot. I appreciate. I really.
We're supposed to.
That one hits me.
Lose sight of that. Yeah. Because Julian, we've been getting messages forever that there's something wrong with you, right? You're not enough,
right.
And so you've got to strive and work harder and do better. Oh, that wasn't it. You didn't. That's not it. No, that's not it. And so to really break out of that. Be able to step back and go, now wait a minute, what if there were none of those messages? What is this person bringing to life? And then get a whole new picture.
That's huge what you're saying, and I think that it's also there's a kind of a poetic irony to it, I think, in the world of arts or any creative endeavor where that is the whole thing. Those are the masters we look to, people who lean into their authenticity without apology and great generosity. So it's, you know, there's examples all around, but when you frame it that way, it makes sense why.
Well, but not you, Julian, not you.
Yeah, it's everyone but me is allowed.
and not me either, so we're really in this together.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm free to look at all of those people and compare myself so that I can really get how lacking I am, how inadequate I am compared to the real people, the good people, the valuable people.
Yeah. Wow.
And I suspect, which is what you just pointed at, that the only difference between them and us, they weren't listening to any voices. or the voices they were listening to didn't say, but you can't write that music, or you can't play that music, or you can't make that painting, or you can't write that poetry, whatever it is. The voices didn't stop them from doing what their heart had to express.
God, I appreciate that so much. Thank you for that.
Yeah, you are
I get
so
chills.
Very
I'm
welcome.
Just sitting in that. Thank you.
You just go happy, okay?
Okay, you do go happy. Thank you. Jerry, that's waiting, everybody.
Thanks,
bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Julian. Well, that is a Peace Corps cherry, right? Authenticity without apology.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the whole notion that we sometimes get trapped in, that it's fine to be a happier ego, but not a free human being.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Oh, wow. Boy, and that's deadly, isn't it? Because that means I have to, if I'm going to be a happier ego, then I really do have to strive and succeed and get and,
ooh. Yeah.
That's a treadmill going faster and faster and faster and faster.
Until we fall off.
Yeah, until we fall off, yeah, not realizing, well, it was a treadmill. It never was going anywhere.
Yeah.
And neither were we. Yeah. Mm. Not so sad.
All right, here's our next caller. I think we have time for one more. Here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
This is Phil.
Thank you, Phil. What are you seeing?
Well, this is such a powerful program. It's just amazing. I just was taking in all the past conversations. But, you know, what I'm seeing is kind of similar. I love that. What is it? Authenticity. What did you
without
just say
apology.
About that?
Without
apology.
Because, without apology.
Yeah. You know, what I guess in what I put for my focus is, you know, looking at the two different ways that, you know, giving occurs, and one is from authenticity and one is from ego for me, and I can see that this is, and I love this particular day because it really shows up the cost we're paying for going with that the ego way of giving, and I can tell because, you know, my commitment's to say yes to life, so I can say the yes, and I start noticing this kind of, I call it huffing and puffing, you know, this kind of harumph or things like, kind of like that, you know, it's like a chicken with its feathers all puffed up. Mm-hmm. You know, walking around the chicken yard.
It's my my version of that is, well, but.
Yeah, that's the well part.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then the but, yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. And it's of course, in that place, and basically it's like a resistance, but you're doing it anyhow. But in that place, it's not fun. I mean, there's no life in it. It's, you know, it's just deadly. And luckily now I know that place very well. So I can actually, there's a way that, you know, we can actually move from the course with this practice, luckily, one place to the other.
Yeah. Because what you're saying, Phil, is it's not giving, is it? It's called that, but it's not that. In fact, we'd have to come up with a whole new word for what that is. You know, I'm gonna give this to you. I'm gonna do this for you. I'm gonna whatever it is, but I'm gonna hate every minute of it, and I'm gonna make sure you know exactly what's going on here, how miserable I am, and how miserable you ought to be. There's no giving in that. We might as well just call it. And say, face the fact that, you know what, I don't want.
Right, and it's not even saying, really saying yes to life.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
No, saying yes to ego.
Saying yes to ego. Well, because we said yes to life, and then ego snatches it away right away, and we're doing the yes to ego. And, and the other way, of course, when I just say yes, and, you know, to life, and here I am, I'm available, everything is just so, it's that place we all know that is so magical that either things fall in place or it we just do the next, life shows us the next step, and it's just a pleasure to be there and giving in that way.
Because what you're pointing at is the process is joyful.
Yes, because it's life-giving,
right?
To life.
Yes.
Yeah. So how could it not be joyful?
It doesn't even matter. Again, it's words are funny, aren't they? So in the one, we would need a different word, because that thing that we were just talking about has nothing to do with giving. In
right.
this one, we sort of need another word, because it has nothing to do with giving either. Because there's no
in
me
way.
And there's no you.
Yeah.
There's just life flowing. And so why do we need to stop it somewhere and say, okay, well, now that's giving. And that's you giving to me. Okay, all right, got it. All right, well, then I better give to you, because we have to keep things fair here. And all of it, even if it's something that we've been trained to believe is a positive, like giving, it still serves separation.
That's right. And, it, you know, long back we've had this thing that giving is receiving. And unless
mm-hmm.
it's in that flow, and receiving is giving, and if it's not in that flow, it's just not life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's very fun. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you all.
I just love
everybody.
That flow, Phil. I just love that flow.
Yeah, I do too.
Right. Take care. Go
Thanks.
Happy.
Thank you all. You too.
You're
bye.
Welcome.
Thanks, Phil.
Ashwini.
Yes, well, it's a little slow in muting and unmuting today, but I was just saying, thank you, Phil, and here's our assignment for the day. What would you have to let go of? What would you have to give up, surrender, lose interest in for the karma not to be maintained? The obvious answer is ego, but what aspect of ego? Example, I would have to let go my belief that it's all up to me to make a difference in everyone's life and that I'm limited in my ability to do that. RL, what do you see?
All right. Lovely. Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Go happy.
Go happy.